Well, I'll put this one then to Mr. Larroudi. The question here, Mr. Larroudi, is the situation for the Arabs and the Palestinians, isn't it? I mean, let's look at what their condition is and whether they can recognize this kind of Israel, you know, because what we're hearing from the Israeli side is, well, the Palestinians are not recognizing us as a state. Can the Palestinians recognize this kind of a state?
I can't really speak for Palestinians. That's up to them. But it's interesting that Israel has not provided any kind of recognition for any Palestinian state, much less the sovereignty that goes with such a state. So it makes me wonder why Palestinians would want to recognize an Israeli state. These things ought to be mutual and reciprocal, and clearly that's not the case. Sorry.
Yeah, Maxine, you wanted to say something.
I would argue that there has been a very strong cooperation between the functioning Palestinian Authority with regard to the general things of life, water, electricity, building materials. If one looks at, for example, the construction of the city of Rawabi, which is an amazing undertaking that will provide 30,000 homes for moderate to upper level income Palestinians about 15 miles from Ramallah, though many of those materials are coming from Israeli manufacturers with the full cooperation of both engineers in both areas, the Palestinian area and the Israeli area, and with a phenomenal construction project that is in place. I mean, the buildings are there, the roadways are there, the infrastructure is there. Much of the building material is coming from Israeli sources. Much of the labor is coming from Palestinian sources. It's providing a fabulous opportunity for work and for progress. The functioning of that type of project will be a great boon to the future of both states, a state for the Palestinian people and a state for the Jewish people.
Well, the way you're describing it, Maxine, it looks like there is no problem at all. Mr. Larroudi, your response to that?
No, I'm not saying that at all. Of course there is a problem. And the problem is that there needs to be a recognition of individual sovereignty, which means that Israel has to recognize a Palestinian state, which also means that the Palestinians have to recognize a Jewish state.
Okay, let's allow Mr. Larroudi to have his response as well.
Let's talk about this wonderful project that is happening in the West Bank that Maxine is talking about. Let's talk about this wonderful project that Maxine is talking about. Well, there were wonderful projects in the American South as well before the end of slavery, where the slaves provided the labor and the whites and the masters provided the materials and all this sort of thing. It was a wonderful cooperative venture. In what the Israelis have in mind is not to offer these products that they have. They're selling these products. They're making money off it. And where else are the Palestinians supposed to get their materials for their projects anyway? This is a captive market for Israel, where they have little choice except to buy it from Israel. So I don't see the benefit of this. In fact, in Israel, they've been building housing projects and settlements and cities and townships for Jews since 1948. And the only projects that they have ever built for Arabs in Israel are to relocate Bedouins into villages let's call them what they are, concentration camps for Arabs, in order to confiscate their land. All of these projects have as a purpose to remove Palestinians from the lands where they are so that those lands can be converted into Jewish living and working areas. This is for the purpose of confiscation.
Yes, well, Maxine, I just want to point this out, if I may.
That is not at all the... Let's start with Rawabi. Let us start with Rawabi, please. Rawabi is funded in the main by Qatar, private funding. It is being directed by a fabulous contractor called Masri. He is a businessman of exemplary reputation and excellent achievement. The workers in this case are working at higher wages than the average worker, and the majority of them are Palestinian, some of them are Jordanian. They are not Israelis, they are not slave labor in any sense. The materials, yes, some are coming from Israel, and some are coming from right within the Palestinian Authority. The stonework, for example, is being honed right at the Rawabi site. As much as possible is coming from within the Palestinian Authority and wherever it is most economical to get that material. With regard to the Bedouin developments, these are not concentration camps in any way. They are towns like any other town. And they are areas that are now providing people with modern life, with water, with electricity, not with the tent life that that was the life of the nomadic generations, but with an opportunity for school, with an opportunity to live in a house with a floor, with electricity and water. Yes. This is no way other than a town.
Okay, well, let me raise something
as
else.
As far as selling, one other comment, let me just respond to the comment of selling materials.
Why is it that the Bedouins don't want to live there?
That is a situation
of normal. Why is it that the Bedouins don't want to live there? They don't want to live there. The Bedouins don't want to live there because they're not allowed to maintain their traditional lifestyle. Are they not entitled to their own? Are they not entitled to live their lives the way they want to on their ancestral lands, in the towns and villages that they have maintained for decades and in some cases more than a century? Where those towns which have never been recognized by Israel, and therefore Israel has never connected municipal water services or electrical services or provided education or anything else to these towns that have been there since before the State of Israel existed. No, they want to move them away so that they can, what they call, Judaize the Negev. This is the problem. The Negev doesn't have enough Jews in it. It's not Jewish enough in character.
Yeah. Well, Maxine, would you allow me to raise a question here?
The Negev is a place that can bloom. The Negev is a place that has amazing resources that can bloom. And how can you call a nomadic settlement that isn't in the same place?
Get rid of the Bedouins.
Not the case at all.
Get them out of the way. Those people are in the way. Just move them aside. Just move them aside, and they don't have.
Shouting is not a way to have a debate.
Let's take away their rights.
Paul LaRudy and
Maxine Dubert. Especially when you are incorrect.
I just want to raise one question here related to what you are discussing. Maxine, when Netanyahu says that Israel should be a Jewish state for only the Jewish people and no other people, doesn't this imply that he's saying that the Palestinians, for instance, the refugees who want a right to return, in his view, cannot return to Israel, because that would change the Jewish character of Israel, and that is undermining the whole prospect of a two-state solution? Why did John Kerry come out and say Israel is risking becoming an apartheid state? Your response to that?
My response to that is as follows. There were about 800,000 people, Jews, who came to Israel from Arab countries, countries from which they were expelled. Those people came, 48, 52 in that area, from places as diverse as Egypt, Morocco, Syria, Lebanon, places where they had had ancestral homes for thousands, literally thousands of years. The politic of the past is not necessarily one that anyone can be proud of. Not the Arab countries, not the interests that as you are saying, expelled some Arabs from Israel. These were not proud times. But we now are in 2014. 800,000 Arab-based Jews from Arab lands,
have come to Israel, have established lives, have gone to school, have studied, have done the normal things of living in the 20th and 21st century.
Well, Maxine,
this
I'm really sorry to stop
that
you.
This is should be available for the Arab populations who transfer.
Of course,
I'm really sorry. We are running out of time.
Okay,
Mr. Larudi, can you tell us? Can you tell us whether this means that Israel is not interested in a two-state solution? Do you think the U.S. concern is about this solution not working, or it's concerned now for the security of Israel itself? It's concerned, for instance, that this is going to lead to a third intifada.
Well, Israel is interested in a two-state solution. Specifically, it's interested in the discussions and negotiations for a two-state solution. As long as the negotiations continue, they're happy. If it actually comes about, they're unhappy. They have been avoiding an actual two-state solution for a long time. Now Israel has discovered that its dearest friend in Europe, according to the Israel Times, is the Bosnian Serb Republic, the most racist state in Europe, as it was close friends with the apartheid state of South Africa until the apartheid disappeared in South Africa.
Yes.
What's next? The fascist, racist, rump state of Ukraine that is a friend of Israel? That's the company that they belong in.
Well, thank you very much. I'm afraid we've run out of time, so I'd like to thank both of our guests, Mr. Paul Larudi in San Francisco, co-founder of the Free Palestine Movement, and in New York, journalist and political commentator Maxine Dovera. Thank you so much, everyone, for staying with us here on Press TV's Debate. From me, Homa Lesgi, it's goodbye.